Thanks for listening to Lighthouse Baptist Church podcast. Lighthouse Baptist Church is an independent, fundamental Baptist church located in Pleasanton, California. This message was preached live in one of our regular church services. If you find this message a help, please feel free to subscribe. You can find out more about us at our website, lbceastbay.com. Now to the message.
Today we're going to get back to the basics. If you'll turn with me to Ecclesiastes chapter 3. And we all know the verses. Don't tune me out now, please, because I want to, and I won't get ahead of myself, but Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, I'll start there in verse 1. To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. A time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to get and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to cast away. A time to rend and a time to sow. A time to keep silence and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time of war and a time of peace. What profit hath he that worketh in that wherein he laboreth? And let's pray. Our Father, Lord, we do give you the glory and honor for being able to be in your house today, God. I pray that anything said is not from my mouth, Lord, but directly from you, God. I pray that you would speak to our hearts and speak to each and every one of us through this time and through this passage. Thank you for it. Pray that you be with those firefighters who are fighting those wildfires, Lord, and the homes surrounding them, Lord, and the people involved, God. I pray that you would keep them safe, Lord, and keep those I pray that you would keep those homes and spare many lives, Lord. And again, we thank you for what you have done and what you're about to do. In your name I pray. Amen. I was going over this passage just recently, a couple days ago, and last week it came up to me again. And it's just amazing that through times of uncertainty, which those are the times we are in now, in times of uncertainty, amen, that regardless of the circumstance that you're in, regardless of what's going on in your life, there is an appointed time and purpose for every stage of your life. That's what that word season means. That word, to everything, there is a season. That word season literally means an appointed time or a designated time. I thank God that He's not in heaven trying to figure out what's going on. I thank God that we have a Savior who 365 times a year tells us to fear not. Oh, there he goes with that verse again. He's going to say, of course I am. I'm going to keep saying it because apparently we haven't gotten the picture that we're not supposed to fear, that we don't need to fear, that God has given us the victory, especially during whatever season we're going through. You turn on the news, you read an article, you see nothing but fear. And I say it over and over again, but we see nothing but fear of an uncertain time. We see nothing but worry over what's the future going to hold. And you know what? It's a great thing because I think we have a lot of Christians today that need to work on now. We have a lot of Christians today, myself included. We need to work on the season that God's provided for us. And again, I don't know what season you're going through. The season you're going through may be a time to break down. That's not an easy season. The season you're going through may be a time to mourn. That's not an easy season. The time you're going through, whatever it may be, but God, if we're not careful, we ignore this passage and ignore God, and we just look for, oh, I can't wait till all this is over. Let's just wait until all this is through. We've missed it. We've missed it. This is a specific time appointed by God. Aren't you glad we have a God that has it all figured out? I want to speak to you briefly and very simply on the topic of fulfill your purpose today. A lot of people, especially the world, are saying, well, Everything's on hold. My life's on hold. This is on hold. I just got to wait. No, now is the time to be growing in Christ. Now is the time to be doing something for Christ. Now is the time to allow that season to mold us. And I'm not going to get ahead of myself, but let's not look too. And again, I'm all for looking towards the future and having a vision. God makes that clear. Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he also makes it clear in this verse that we ought not to skip the season. During this time, those of you watching and those of you here, wherever you're sitting, it may seem like you're stagnant physically, but we better not be stagnant spiritually. I want to speak to you on the topic of fulfill your purpose today. I already mentioned that word season means a fit or suitable time. Well, this isn't suitable for me. No. Let's move forward into verse, lost my train of thought. Into verse 11, it says, "He hath made everything beautiful in his time." He hasn't appointed this time on your timetable. And again, that word season meaning a suitable time. This may not be suitable for us, but it's all suitable on God's time. Why? Because verse 11 says, "He hath made everything perfect in his time." Boy, I'm glad it's not based on my timetable. Amen. And if we're saying, well, this isn't suitable for me, this is not how I can, this whole circumstance is not going to allow me to grow spiritually, we've missed it. We've completely missed it. And again, if we're not careful, we're looking so forward to everything being over that we're going to miss the purpose that God has for this season. And I'm going to make it clear again, we're not all in the same season. We are under the same circumstances, but the season for each and every one of us is different and unique according to God's will. God has already promised us the victory, but if we're not careful, we're so much like Achan, when the Israelites were going into Ai, where they already were promised the victory, they were already promised success, but Achan didn't obey God. We need to, and he makes it clear through not just through the battle of Ai, but all throughout Scripture, that in order to get the victory, we need to obey God today. Fulfill your purpose today. What is his purpose today? I've already mentioned that's between you and God. Only you know. Only you know what season you're in. Only I know what season I'm in. And that's between you and God. Maybe for some, it's a time to mourn. Maybe for some of us, and I want to make it clear, we need to figure out which season we're in, and I'll get to that in a moment. Some of us may be mourning when it should be a time for us to build up. Some of us may be tearing down when it's a time for us to build up. Some of us may be rejoicing, some of us may be building up when it's time for us to mourn. Let's make sure that we have God's direction on the season, and I'll get to that briefly. But I want to give you two ways you can fulfill God's purpose today. And then two ways he uses the season. Though there are many more than two. It's funny, we could sit down here all night just going through what he uses the season for. We could be here all night, so I want to take the next 8 hours. No. I want to take the next couple of minutes and just let you know what God's laid on my heart for this season. Whatever season you're in. If you'll turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4. This is part one of point one. But 1 Peter chapter 4. In verse 12. Beloved, in verse 12 in 1 Peter chapter 4, it says, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. In other words, this shouldn't be happening to me. No. He says, think it not strange. But verse 13, but rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. How can we fulfill God's purpose today? Number one, rejoice. But more specifically, turn back with me to Psalms chapter 95. How can we fulfill his purpose today? Rejoice. But more specifically, Psalms 95 verse 2, let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. How can we fulfill God's purpose or find his purpose or his season during this time? Number one, rejoice in your prayer life. He tells us right here, before we've even started our prayer, he says, come before his presence with thanksgiving. And it goes even further to say, the verse isn't done. How can we rejoice in our prayer life? Look at the last part of that. It says, and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. Rejoice in your prayer life. How? Praise him in song. I'll tell you what, it'll change your heart real quick if you start your prayer life off singing. It's amazing what happens when you force this old flesh to get your mind off the struggles and start singing songs like, what a friend we have in Jesus, standing on the promises of Christ my King. Boy, when you go into your prayer life with a song, it changes your approach. He's telling us to pray again. No, you've missed it. You've completely missed it. It's not us praying. We can pray and read our Bible all at once, but if our heart's not right, if we don't have the right approach into his word, if we don't have the right spirit going into his word, it makes no difference. I'll give you an example from 1 Samuel chapter 16, when God sent that evil spirit upon Saul, and David came, and it says in Psalm 16 verse 23, and it came to pass when the evil spirit from God was upon Saul, that David took up a harp and played with his hand, so Saul was refreshed and was well, and the evil spirit departed from him. That's why we sing in church, to prepare our hearts. To prepare our hearts and to get our spirit right. And when we approach our prayer life with a singing spirit, with a praising spirit, with a rejoicing spirit, boy, that's going to change every bit of our prayer life. How else can we rejoice in our prayer life? You don't even have to turn there, but count your blessings. Philippians 4:8 says, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are of good report, if ye have any praise, think on these things. And this is after Philippians 4:6-7, when he tells us to come to him for all things in our prayer life, and that he will give us that peace of God. He tells us later on to whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are of good report, if you have any, just to think on these things. How can we rejoice in our prayer life? Praise him in song, as I mentioned. Oh boy, the power of a song in our heart. And count your blessings. That it's a simple thought, but I love that song. Sometimes, and it's a little easier for me. But we are supposed to be a peculiar people, but it's a little easier for me to be peculiar on my overnight shifts because I can walk around and sing as loud as I want and no one will hear me. So, I mean, I can be very peculiar. But it's amazing. It's amazing what a song will do to our heart. It's amazing that just singing that song or humming it, however you want, just having a song in your thought, in mind, just completely, and that will lead you to being able to count your blessings. I love that song, count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God hath done. I love that song, and it's those kind of songs that are going to lead us to count our blessings and to remember and to reflect on what God has done for us. And last I checked, every single one of us in this room are living. At least I hope so. You can wake up, Brother Jojo. No, I'm just kidding. He's amening back there. He's great. He's great. He's been an encouragement. But count your blessings. That song, those songs in our heart will lead us to the privilege of counting our blessings, how he delivered us before and he will deliver us now. And this is free, but in order to rejoice in our prayer life the way we need to listen to what it says earlier in Philippians 4, 6, and 7, to be careful for nothing, but in everything through prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God that passeth all understanding will keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. See, we're so focused on the future, and again, having a vision is a good thing, but worrying about the future, the Bible says he hath not given us that spirit of fear. And in order to get that peace, we need to come to him for all things. That means be careful for nothing. That means in any situation, even you may be able to handle. And you say, I got this. No, you don't. Take that to him too. This world has such a mind of fear and uncertainty. That's why God says to be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. It takes a separate mind than the world to have that peace. It takes a separate mind than the world to be able to rejoice in your prayer, to be able to count your blessings. Fulfill your purpose for the season, whatever season you're in. And praise him in your prayer life. That's how he'll lead you. If you don't know what season you're in, I'll tell you what. And I'm going to use this as an example. Because this tells you how flawed I am. But I'm a hypochondriac. If I feel anything, I think it's cancer. I'll tell you what. I know it's funny, but I'll tell you what. I feel any little thing and I think, oh boy. I wonder what that is. And you know, we get stuck in this whole mind of thinking, but this is supposed to be my time to rejoice. This is supposed to be my time to sing. This is my season to enjoy. And I'm so stuck up here that sometimes if we're not careful, we get the mind to worry about senseless things. Number one, rejoice in your prayer life. That means coming to him in songs, as the Bible says. Coming to his presence with thanksgiving. To count your blessings, as Philippians 4:8 tells us. Number one, rejoice in your prayer life. But number two, turn with me to Psalms chapter 19, just a little farther back. Psalms chapter 19, in verse number 8, says, "The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening to the eyes." One, rejoice in your prayer life, but two, rejoice in his word. Always telling us to pray and read our Bible again. Again, you missed it. You missed it. You can do all the prayer and Bible reading you want, but if it goes in one ear and out the other, it makes no difference. If you go into your prayer life, we're not talking about simply praying and reading your Bible. We're talking about our spirit going into it. We're talking about how we prepare ourselves for our prayer life, how we prepare ourselves for his word, and how we go into it. If we're not careful, we'll just tune me out right now and tune these verses out right now and go, okay, I get it. Read your Bible and pray. No, it's so much more than that. He gives us an exact way of how we should go into our prayer, how we should go into his word. But number two, rejoice in his word. It says right there in verse 8, "The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing to the heart." Rejoicing the heart. What are his statutes? This book. What are his commandments? This book. His promises, everything in this book. It doesn't just say to read the word. It says to rejoice in his statutes. The definition, I love that, Webster's 1828 definition of statutes. The definition of statutes is an act of supreme power, a legislation. Guess what? This is God's legislation. I'll tell you what, when the Bible comes alive to you and you come into it with a rejoicing spirit, I'll tell you what, it is an act of supreme power. I love that definition of statutes, an act of supreme power. I'll tell you what, this Bible right here is an act of supreme power and divine intervention in anyone's life who goes into it with rejoicing, who goes into it with a positive heart, who goes into it with the right spirit. Boy, when we get into the Bible after a prayer of singing and thanksgiving, it'll alter our entire approach to having a walk with Him. You ever see a verse, whether reading or just a notification if you have one of those Bible apps that send you a daily verse or something, or maybe just a thought to your mind, whatever it may be, you ever see a verse and think, I needed that. That comforted me. What that verse comforted me. You know what that is? That's rejoicing your heart. His statutes, His word is rejoicing to the heart. But it doesn't stop there. You want to know how to know what season you're in, how to get God's guidance through your season. It goes on at the end of verse 8. At the end of verse 8, it says, the commandment of the Lord is pure. And the last three words, can we say it together? Ready, begin. Enlightening to the eyes. Enlightening the eyes, those three words, enlightening the eyes. You want to know the purpose for your life or what season you're going through during this time? Come to His Word with the heart of thanksgiving. Come to His Word, and it tells you, it's revealing to the eyes. Enlightening the eyes. Boy, we're not going to understand. And if you don't know what season you're in, if we haven't been in this Word, you won't know what season you're in. Boy, when you open this Word, it says it's enlightening to the eyes. That means God's going to reveal His purpose for you during this time. God's going to reveal what you're supposed to be doing during this time. Delve your head into this book studiously, joyfully, after a prayer of thanksgiving and praise. I love how His Bible says His statutes are rejoicing the heart. Boy, every one of us, whether it be small or big, have experienced that, having a verse just come alive to us, have our heart rejoicing in its promise. You might even find, it's funny, before you even finish your singing, going into prayer, you might find your purpose before you even finish your singing. I'm pretty sure that when Paul, I can't prove it, but I don't, if it were me, if I were in Paul and Silas's shoes singing in the prison, I wouldn't think that while I was singing, I'd be leading a Philippian jailer to the Lord. I don't think they went into it saying, hey, let's pray because I know this person's going to get saved. No, God brings it when we start fulfilling His purpose, when we start coming to Him in songs and hymns and spiritual songs, and He makes it alive to us. And I'll tell you what, furthermore, this is free, but it gives us a countenance that gives us a purpose to those around us. When it says His word is enlightening to the eyes, it doesn't just mean us. It means to all people. When God enlightens us, we can then enlighten the world. He tells us, ye are the light of the world. How is it that we can find our purpose for the season? How is it that we can fulfill that purpose during this season? I'll tell you what, don't wait around waiting for all this to end. This is the greatest time. I've heard some people, not in this church, but I've heard some people say, wow, and it's easy to think this way, I understand, but I've heard some people say, wow, with all my ministries on hold, I just kind of got to put my Christian life on hold right now. No, That's the most dangerous. There's no greater opportunity for our Christian life than right now. I'll tell you what, if we get by, well, when not if, but when we get beyond this virus, when we get beyond these shutdowns and these mandates and everything, when we get beyond it, I'll tell you what, if we get at the end of it and say, okay, now I can start my Christian life, you've completely missed the most opportune moment to grow. Let's fulfill our purpose for this season. Let's not get too sidetracked with what the future may hold. God's got that under control. I'm not saying to not have a vision. We ought to always be having a vision because, as I mentioned, where there is no vision, the people perish. But we ought to have that vision. But with that vision in mind, be rejoicing in God that it'll happen on His time, because in our text, Ecclesiastes 3, He says all things are made beautiful in His time. Number one, let's rejoice in our prayer life. Number two, let's rejoice in His Word. That word rejoice, meaning to be exceedingly glad, an experience of joy, of fullness of joy, literally is what it means. It doesn't just mean to come, but it means to feel it, to experience it. And what does He do? What does He do when we do that? What does He do when we rejoice in His Word? What does He do when we rejoice in our prayer? If you'll turn with me to Romans chapter 9. In verse 21... it says, "Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto his honor and another unto dishonor?" I'll tell you what, we know there's other verses, but, and I might have picked the wrong one, but it has the same exact thought. But number one, He molds. It refers to Christ all throughout Scripture as the potter and us as the clay. When we yield ourselves and we rejoice in our prayer life, we go into it with the right spirit. We lead into our Bible reading with the right spirit and the correct approach and a singing heart. That, I'll tell you what, that's when He begins to mold. That allows that potter to mold us in such a manner where He can begin to do something with us. It's not as easy when your season is maybe as Paul's purpose was, to glory in your infirmities. That lasts a lifetime. Maybe seasons last differently for different people. Your season may not end after all this is said and done. But He begins to mold us when we allow that, and He gives us that peace of God that Philippians talks about when we bring everything to Him, rejoicing in Him. I'll tell you what, you're not going to find anybody singing sad most of the time, unless they're in the cuckoo house. But one thing He does is He begins to mold us. "Thou art the potter, and we all are Thy work of Thy hand." Number two, if you'll turn with me to James. James chapter 1. James chapter 1. And I'll start there in verse 1. It says, "James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. Verse 2, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations." That means trials, circumstances. "Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing." Now, most of us know that word, that you may be perfect, literally means a completeness, a fullness. God wants to make us complete. God wants to make us full in His will and His time. What does He do? What does He do during the season when we allow, when we rejoice in our prayers, when we rejoice in walking with God? He molds us, but two, He strengthens us. He perfects us. And I love my life verse is Ecclesiastes 7:3. I love that verse, and I literally drew a blank. I don't know why, but Ecclesiastes 7:3 talks about sorrow is better than laughter, for by the sadness of the countenance the heart is made better. That way, through any season you're going through, whatever season you're going through, that's definite. That right there, sorrow is better than laughter, for by the sadness of the countenance, the heart is made better. That tells you through all sorrow or whatever awful situation you may be going through, no matter what's going on, one of the purposes, without a doubt, is that He will make your heart better in Him. He will allow you to grow, and He'll strengthen you. Number one, He molds us during these times. Number two, He strengthens us. Let's not miss the boat on Him strengthening us. A lot of us times spend too much time wallowing in our own what we don't have, what we could have, what we would have had. How about we just rejoice in the fact of what He's given us in our prayer life? Rejoice in His Word, in the promises that He's established for us. And then He'll begin to mold us. And then He'll be able to strengthen us. And I'll tell you what, at the end of all of it, we'll look back saying, man, why did I even worry? Why did I even get so concerned? I can assure you, as a Christian, as a child of God, with us being given the victory at the end of all this, that and times will get back to normal. There's no saying when or what, but times will get back to normal. We'll look back at the season that God gave us, if we've allowed Him to mold us and allowed Him to strengthen us, looking back going, why did I even get concerned? Why did I, just like when Peter got his mind focused off of Christ, he saw everything around him. And we hear all those examples so often, but that's us every day. Peter is us every day. All the worries we see in the Bible, I love Ecclesiastes, because my favorite book of the Bible, because you can look at these times and you see Ecclesiastes, there is no new thing under the sun. You look at Ecclesiastes and you see history repeating itself. He says the wind swirl about continually unto its circuits. Everything that we are experiencing now may be new for us, but it isn't new to this world. There is nothing new under the sun. We've all gone, the world has gone through every circumstance there is to know. There's nothing that surprises God, and He is on the throne. Let's not get so caught up in waiting for this to end. There's only one sort of waiting we should be doing right now. You probably know what I'm going to say. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up their wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And that's not a stagnant kind of waiting. That's a meditating kind of waiting, a trusting sort of waiting. That's not a stagnant kind of waiting that all these mandates are trying to get us to do and be stagnant. I'll tell you what, it's an incredible time to be a Christian, because while everyone else, while the world thinks of this time as the most stagnant time as Christians, this really is the most flourishing time for us to grow. It's an incredible time. It's a blessed time. Let's rejoice in this time. Let's rejoice in the opportunity to spend more time with our family. I mean, maybe some of us haven't, but maybe some of us haven't had that opportunity. But I'll tell you what, I see, and I think I mentioned it before, it's a joy to see people outside that I've never seen before as a family. Not during the smoke, of course, but it's just incredible to see. Don't be so focused and so worried of what God's already taken care of that you lose sight of the purpose right now. Let's, in order to find that purpose, find that season, let's rejoice in our prayer life. Let's come to Him in singing. You don't have to sing outright, like as loud as you want. You can just hum a verse to yourself. It's funny. You wouldn't think so. Sometimes you'll start humming that verse or humming that song. It'll just stay with you throughout the day. And that changes your heart. Let's fulfill God's purpose for this time, and let's pray.
Thanks again for listening to Lighthouse Baptist Church Podcast. Find out more about us at our website, lbceastbay.com. I hope you can visit again real soon.